live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Battleborn on a Wednesday. Wednesday's going to be a normal day out here during the football season at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Justin Watkins coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. 4 hours of programming on the way. I'm slightly involved in the show after this one. That'll be the debut of the Barry Odom radio show. UNLV football coach at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. They're giving away a suite at the home opener. So you come out, you sign up, 16-person suite. It's worth $2,000. All the food and beverage is included, and you get to watch the home opener against Utah Tech. Jared's back in the Finley Toyota Studios. Adam Hill is with us. Busy times. We're going to get into NFL cuts, not only with the Raiders, but also the saddest day in television. Hard Knocks coming up on multiple fronts.
Sure.
So what's going on? You look exasperated.
It was a tough but good day. I think we can probably get into a little bit with Justin later on. But
yesterday or today?
Today.
For you or for football players?
No. For myself, I think the city, everyone at the Review Journal for sure. So a good day. So
that's a good reset. Yeah, yeah. Do you want to mention why?
It was the verdict day in the murder of my colleague and I'll say friend and fantasy football league mate, Jeff Gehrman. I say that kind of laughing because it was maybe one of his favorite activities in the world. Obviously, it's fantasy football season. We've got a draft coming up that we did in a long time together, so that's tough. But haven't been able to talk about it if you've been listening to the show. It's intentionally been not discussed because the trial's been going on. It's been a 2-year legal battle, so I won't get too much into feelings and things like that. But I think a day of closure for a lot of people around town.
Well, I will say, because I can't speak on it, that for everyone out there who doesn't think journalism has an important role in local communities, this proves it, because the RJ staff did a great job of basically handing this case to our system. So you deserve credit. I don't know how involved you are, but your cohorts did an amazing job, and they deserve a pat on the back. And again, I'll remind everyone, this is one of many reasons that local journalism matters.
Yeah, and journalists do the job for of uncovering things that are going on, and that's what happened in this case. That an elected official was doing some things that were not great, and it was talked about, and it was written about and covered. And for that, Jeff, who covered some of the most over the top criminals and ne'er-do-wells that the city has ever seen, and went toe-to-toe and spoke truth to power for years and years and years. And then, this is the one that came back to, cost him his life, which is obviously awful and terrible and tragic, but, that's not what I'm saying. It's just, it shows you the work that journalists are willing to do. And I don't really include myself in this because I'm, writing about dumb sports, but, it when people are criticizing journalism and taking shots at news and media and things like that, these are the people that you want on your side. So hopefully people think about that today.
To a much lesser serious degree, the justice system in college football, which I'm not sure what it's going to be 5 years from now, the NCAA is still in charge of trying to somehow police, especially big-time college football. Interesting story came down late yesterday, early today, with one of our hometown heroes, the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Famer, a former Bishop Gorman player, Oklahoma Sooner, Tennessee Titan, Dallas Cowboy, Philly Eagle, DeMarco Murray, fully immersed, apparently, in the recruiting game, which is you do what you have to do to get players, allegedly in this case. But it looks like DeMarco Murray is going to be suspended for a game for recruiting violations, part of the NCAA. Impermissibly contacted 17 recruits over a 16-month span, including 65 impermissible phone calls. Sorry, I'm laughing at this. 36 impermissible texts. OU discovered it through a routine phone records review. Brent Venables recognized the suspension, but hasn't said when DeMarco may serve it.
Yeah.
What do you make of the story?
I think it's a learning experience for a young coach, DeMarco Murray, who obviously went straight from the field to back to his alma mater to coach. And I think a lot of people think, oh, there's no more rules because you can just pay players now in the out in the open, especially for Ohio State. But there are still some recruiting rules.
I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. That's rich. You're right. Ohio State does have a $20 million war chest that is spent on some new players, but let's not worry about Ohio State when, especially for you. Come on now. Come on now.
No, I give him credit.
Sharon Moore, Michigan. The raised earth that Jim Harbaugh left behind, there's going to be some stuff to pay there too. But the bottom line with Ohio State, Michigan is it's the Hatfields and the McCoys. So, if you're beating us, I got to do one better. So yeah. Ohio State followed up whatever Michigan was doing and went hog wild.
I give them credit. No, I think they said, okay, well, you're going to invest in a great coach. We'll invest in great money. And they did it. Huh? And that's the rules. That's the rules now. So you're allowed to do this. It's not a critique of them. It's actually a credit to their program. That there was enough people around there that had money that said, enough.
Yeah, we can't have this.
Like, enough. We are being dominated now by our rival. Like, we're done with this. We're going to outspend them. And you said 20. I don't believe that number at all. I think it's well north of 50. And that's
$50 million on a football team.
Yeah. And I think that's what they did. And that's why they're rightfully number one. And they should win a national championship this year. They committed. They did what other supporters of programs should be doing right now.
Cut day yesterday. Not to be mean, but... Will Kadarius Toney play in the NFL again?
Yes.
Why?
Players talk about this all the time, and it's like a thing in locker rooms that guys talk about all the time. That they said, if you're an undrafted guy, you basically have like one or two chances to get cut. If you're a first round pick, you will get signed 20 times.
They'll just keep going back to the well. Like, there must have been something there.
Somebody had to see something in this guy,
right? So the Chiefs. Got him from the Giants, who made him a first-round pick, another one of the great track record picks by...
Alex Leatherwood was in a camp this year.
Al Leatherwood was in a camp.
Somebody will sign Kadarius Toney.
Dave Gettleman, a part of his legacy is Kadarius Toney. Obviously, my reference is Kadarius Toney has kind of been... He's sort of a knucklehead on the field. I don't know if he's a bad guy. But you're right, he probably... he's a wide receiver who's a burner. If he can ever get his hands together and mentally focus on the field, maybe someone can turn him around, but the Chiefs have just said, hey, numbers-wise, we can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean it. And they also don't need him anymore, right? I mean they were at a point where they needed bodies in that room. They just couldn't afford receivers. Now they've revamped the roster. They've made some changes and some moves, and the receiver room is actually really good. So there's no longer a necessity to have Kadarius Toney in there.
Raiders cuts. Anything shock you? Did you know everything was coming?
I guess shocking. Not really shocking, and whatever is somewhat. Surprising, I think, was kind of rectified today. Because the ones I was surprised by were Bryant Young making the team. That was surprising to me. And Brandon Faison making the team. And he's a really interesting case because Brandon Faison is a good player. He's also a really good dude that missed a lot of last year. And I think drew some frustration around the team of people that were saying, he's healthy, why is he not playing? And then he came into camp this year and practiced a little bit. And then I think there are some people saying, he's fine. Why is he not playing? And then the roster cut down day comes and he's on the team. And that was kind of interesting that he was there. Again, the answer from Tom Telesco yesterday, when I asked him, what did he do to make this team? He said, well, when he's on the field, he's a starting level cornerback. It was by far his shortest answer of the day, which I think was pretty telling. But today, Brandon Faison goes on IR. So he is on the team, but he is on IR. They were able to use that spot. And then Bryant Young, who I said I was kind of surprised that he made the team, he's no longer on the team. He's cut today. So a couple of those moves that maybe were a little bit surprising are now kind of handled and taken care of, and they can move forward.
You getting in the contest out there? Cofield and Company's in. Circa Million. There's also Circa Survivor. Million has the five picks against the spread all the way through the season, quarterly prizes, season-ending prizes. It's tough. It's the ultimate test out there. It's one of the great contests in town, down at Circa Las Vegas and any Circa property. You can sign up until September 7th at 2 o'clock. Circa Million has a $6 million prize pool. Circa Survivor, that's where you pick one winner every week. No spread, but you can use that team just once. So you can't use all the great teams early in the season because you may be stuck at the end with no good teams, and it's the... that one is dramatic. You win, you move on. You lose, you're out. And that's got a $10 million pool, winner take all, Circa Survivor. Get out to your Circa Sportsbook. go down to the big boy property, Circa Las Vegas. Sign up. Cofield and company are in. You want to be in as well. It's Circa Survivor and Circa Million. Great contest. Enter now. Unbelievable prizes.
Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, baby, it's here tomorrow. A real full slate of college football games. We'll get to Colorado in its opener. Dion is back with his kids on the field. Remember, Sunday is a massive game right here in Las Vegas. LSU and USC. It's the beach versus the bayou. You want to tune in to ABC this Sunday, 4:30 start, to see what is a sold-out Al for this Modelo Vegas kickoff classic with USC and LSU going at it. Fun times, fun times. College football coaches, Adam Hill, are getting a little... Well, on one hand, I'd like to call some of them pansies, but I think they're actually just attaining more power, and they're like, you know what? I don't like doing that. I'm not doing it anymore. So one of the interesting updates from the week is Dabo Swinney, who, that was a weird moment when Tyler from Spartanburg called in last year. There's some chop busting going on, and he exploded because he's very emotional. Don't do as I say, because I'm a child sometimes and immature. But Dabo apparently not taking live callers on the radio show anymore. I haven't cleared this with the Barry Odom radio show people. I think I may be in the role from time to time because Caleb Herring and Matt Nevert, the new radio voice of the Rebels, along with Coach Odom, they have everything set at the main table. And then we have a roving mic potentially. But I haven't cleared this. So when I get over there, I'm going to ask and be like, hey, you want me to go around the crowd?
Should I go hang out there?
Do you want to be mystery? Like, go. You'll be out on the patio on the grass, kind of around the corner, playing some. What's that whole beanbag thing that you guys like to play?
Playing
cornhole?
Bags.
Cornhole?
Just call it bags.
Yeah. We got a question back here at the cornhole.
Hey, coach. What's your prediction on wins? Do you guarantee a bowl game?
All right, sir. Thank you.
Be better
this
than.
Is, this is Fred.
It'd be better than showing up there and hanging out to watch the show than having the coach say hi to everybody else except for me.
That's has that happened before?
It has.
He doesn't know you.
Not him.
Oh, someone else. I don't know what the story is.
Previous coach.
You're setting me up.
Previous coach.
Boy, you really have it stuck in that craw of yours with Marcus Arroyo.
Well, he did, clearly.
You know, some people are just people.
That was intentional.
I got along with him swimmingly.
It was intentional. There was a group of people sitting there watching the show.
Oh, okay.
He said hi individually to everyone except for me.
These things happen. You're important.
Intentional.
You're agitating and you're important.
It's much different now. It's a much different vibe around the program. It's amazing what happens when you're successful. And you know.
Well, this could happen with in Colorado and Boulder or Denver with Deion Sanders and Sean Keeler, which I love the way this story developed. Deion is banned. Sean Keeler, local columnist. And dozens from CBS. Every CBS, he said he will not answer a question from. So that's CBS Local, that's CBS Sports Radio around the country, that's CBSSports.com, that's CBS TV. He has now said he won't take questions from probably over 50 people.
I mean, it's ridiculous and childish, of course,
yes.
On the surface. It also, like, I do think it's important to talk about it because it is, you know, obviously a very prominent program and it's something that could happen at other programs. And you can point out, you know, when these things happen of how long, in general, when this, if something like this happens, I would say, well, this guy probably doesn't have very long in the job. In this case, we already know that. This is his last year on the job.
Right. He will walk.
Yeah.
And I predict he will walk before the end of the season.
I think it's very possible.
And he will not walk for another job.
No. I think he stays it out because of his intention of orchestrating the draft.
He's got a child on the team.
Yeah.
And maybe he can orchestrate the draft. And you're right. If he walks away and, I mean, if the season wasn't going right and they're all kind of turning on each other, couldn't Deion walk and go, you know what? Now you're not getting shit over the last couple of games too. He's leaving. He's done.
He could.
I mean, that's the kind of lunacy that could happen here. The thing that I find very entertaining is Deion projects things on other people, but I think he's basically saying who he is. Listen, as we break these bites down a little bit, And do you have to speak to the media? No. When you're the highest paid employee in a state at a public university, I think you owe something to the fans. The media is the conduit to the fans. From what I hear and what I've read, most Denver area coverage of Deion has been like, yay, Deion. Yay, Buffs. Want to see Colorado have a good football program. It's been overwhelmingly supportive, but here was Deion the other day. I don't know if this was round two or round one. It was round two, actually. A guy came in and was like, I wanted to know exactly what he could ask and what he couldn't ask.
But I'm also known as a person that sometimes asks less than supportive questions or critical questions. If I ask a negative question, will you not answer them anymore?
That's being negative right now.
It is.
Wait, what?
That is being negative. I'm with Deion.
You didn't like that? He's like, if I ask a...
That is an obnoxious. It is obnoxious. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying I wouldn't do it. It is obnoxious.
You wouldn't do it. No, you are saying you wouldn't do it. You would not clear. You would not. Okay, this is the way things work.
He's not actually trying to clear a question, though. What he's doing
is trying to get a reaction.
Saying, hey, how many people are you going to ban?
Yeah.
Every time somebody asks something negative, we're going to ban
them. You're right. If his goal was to make sure they have a copacetic relationship, then he would talk to them away from a press conference.
Of course.
That's the way things are done.
Of course.
But I don't think Deion wants that
either. No.
He wants us to play out publicly.
First of all, wouldn't he actually have to be around and talk to people in order to do that?
Let's get to that in a second. give me a little more Deion and this reporter going round and round. And this is where I do like when Deion gets up on the pulpit and points down at other people and questions their faith.
Like, you take an approach that I'm going to be negative. I'm not negative to anybody in here. I will challenge you and ask you why or where is this coming from. So I'm not built like that. I'm not built to hate. I'm not a hateful guy. I come with love. I think if anybody in here has had encounters with me, I don't come with the bull junk. I come with the peace.
Okay. If Ed Werder were there, Deion did come with the bull junk after the big victory last year against TCU, and he points to Ed and he's like, see, I told you wrong. And Ed Werder, of course, is not going to challenge him, but Ed Werder's like, I didn't say anything about you. I don't know why you're going after me.
Who do you think I am, and what do you think I wrote?
Right. Well, someone tried to do that last week to him when he was like, you keep attacking. And the reporter's like, well, what's the attack? Can you name it? No, not right now. No. Like, basically, he didn't even say that. No. He started doing a word salad, and you're like, well, tell me what I attacked you over.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Last one with Deion.
Now, when you show me where you stand, I might have to change that a little bit. So I'm not going to match your ignorance or whatever. Not saying that you're ignorant, but a person, I'm not going to match that. Well, that's your prerogative. I don't have to come where you are because my life is complete. I don't like what you say, what you do is not going to change my life.
So then why are we having this discussion?
I don't know.
What you say is not going to change my life. By the way, I'm sorry. 100%, if I'm a person at that press conference and he says, can you play the end again? I don't want to misquote him, but he says, that's what it was. My life is complete. He keeps throwing out there that the people questioning him have issues. Like, what's wrong at home? Is your life incomplete? Like, bro, worry about your life. Don't worry about mine. I'm not going to name the name, but I don't know if you saw it. There is someone that I really respect who is a very strong person in terms of his faith, who is going to Denver to work in TV.
Oh, boy.
And I would love to see Deion and that fella. If Deion starts judging him on his faith, like, what's wrong at home? Or, you know, what's your problem with the relationship with God? I'd be like, whoa.
But I think that person, if it's who I'm thinking of,
yeah,
I think that person would just, I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's pretty serious stuff. I think that kind of territory is where coaches should not go.
Yeah.
That's when it gets kind of ugly. Like, you're just here to ask some questions. If some hard questions need to be asked, are going to be asked. And that's it, man. Don't take it so personally. Right?
In the end, you coached a bad football team last year. That's who you are. I understand that you're, you know, you have an unbelievable track record as a player. You had some success at a lower level. You were a bad coach on a disappointing football team.
And, you know, I mentioned this before. Deion may not win this year because of Deion and the amount of work Deion put into Colorado.
Yeah.
We have different sources on this. I know we do. he just wasn't there that much this summer working.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard there were practices where Deion comes in, let's get the video we need. Sayonara. 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
And then you have the other... sound like there are scurrilous rumors. They're not. And you're going to see it play out on the field. If the work is not put in, if the depth is not built within a football program, then as the season goes along, those things come up. They rear their ugly head. And you saw what happened last year. The depth was not built. I also don't believe that backups, a lot of them, are going to bust their hump for Deion when he doesn't seem to appreciate very many of them. Doesn't know their names.
Well, even people that defend Deion have kind of talked about this.
Yeah.
I know somebody very, very close to the program who was defending him, saying, yeah, he doesn't – he's not always there. He doesn't have to be. That's not his job. He's not the coach of this team. I'm like, what? They're like, he's a CEO. That's what he does. And Deion has said that. He's a CEO, but I don't think he would be happy with people saying he's not there. But what they said is he just has to make sure everybody's doing their job. He comes in. Make sure everybody's okay. You're doing your job. You're running the offense. You're running the defense. All right, you got this position. All right, cool. See you later. And they said, yeah, that's what he was hired for. I was like, I don't know that.
Maybe that's what Colorado Athletics told him. But if they think that's going to win them football games, you want to leave the program to a bunch of assistant coaches. I can tell you from a rule standpoint, that didn't work for Herm Edwards.
Yeah,
at Arizona State.
And I also know somebody who is a booster there who said, I couldn't care less if we win.
If we win,
he's no.
Oh, if we oh they just want the attention. Less. They just want the attention.
Said, do you know how irrelevant we were?
So just
two decades.
Okay,
they're like, who cares if what he do? Who cares what he's doing?
That's interesting.
I'm like, all right, that's fine too.
Yeah. Paul Feinbaum went off on Deion the other day. Dan Orlovsky was battling him. I think what Dan says here is really interesting, but Dan also has no idea what he's talking about because he's not in this position.
I don't necessarily mind that Deion's trying to control a little bit of the narrative. I don't think he's being a bully. He's just saying, hey, if this is going to be mainly what you do or only what you do in relation to me, because not everybody should get a seat when it comes to having the opportunity to cover a program and or their head coach. At some point, the criticism is a background noise to success. You're not going to be able to run from all of it, but to say he's being a bully and hypocritical, that's extreme when it comes to this situation.
It's not extreme, it's the truth. And for Dan Orlovsky to speak on this, he's not in a position to understand what he's talking about. Dan Orlovsky will never have access issues.
No, never.
Ever. Ever. He's a former player. He works for, you know, big boy ESPN. He'll never have access issues. He'll never represent the people of a particular state or city. Ever.
Although if the local ABC affiliate said something that Dan doesn't like, does he ban ABC and all Disney employees?
That would be awesome.
So maybe Orlovsky could get caught up in that.
Possibly.
But also, what do you think Orlovsky would say if that did happen? If the local ABC guy in Denver did something that Deion got mad at and said, all right, ABC and ESPN, you're all out.
He would stand up, stick out his chest, and go, that's not right. No, he wouldn't. He would not. Colorado opening tomorrow against North Dakota State. Line sitting at 9.5. It's going to be fascinating. We'll have a bunch of experts here over the next couple of days to make their picks and angles on that game. Nice college football slate coming up on Thursday night. We're going to check in with another guy who knows a lot about college football. He's a host of the Barry Odom Radio Show, host of UNLV All Access Podcast. Caleb Herring is up in about 10 minutes. But before we do that, Jared, get on the phones. Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100. We got some concert tickets coming up. This one's coming up next week. We got Bush Candlebox and Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, September 11th, Planet Hollywood, PH Live. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. Bush Candlebox and Jerry Cantrell. Caller 7, 364-1100.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Cofield and Company. Yesterday, did we have the mic fall off in front of Salerno?
Yes, we did.
Jared, today your mic went out, and we were very worried that you would not be able to contribute to the show, but hallelujah, you're back.
Yeah. You guys were missing out.
We were. We have some good stories today.
I mean, I had a theme for today.
Well, We should update people. Yesterday, we were talking about the big sub shop nationally that was thinking about going back to the cheaper footlongs, Adam.
Yeah.
They would do $7 footlongs, which there's a whole trend out there of fast food places. They're like, yeah, you know, let's at least coax people again with some, you know. And then some people just can't afford, you know, I think I paid $10.18 today for a combo, right? It's one of my favorite combos. You go up to Instagram and the argument can commence about chicken tenders. But, you know, $5 for some people, that's the value they can do. Or I that's what I tolerate. I generally don't get anything more than one of the cheapest things on the menu. So the sub joint was going to bring back the cheaper footlongs, but you forget that things are franchised. And I guess apparently there's a lot of the franchisees who are like, we can't do that.
No.
We can't offer that, so stop.
Yeah, as long as they don't bring back the, I think it's the same place. They had a promotion. It was 2 for Tuesday at one point back in the day.
You're so old that when you were a sandwich artiste, the cheapy footlong didn't exist, right?
There's five.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but it was all. But
25
it was also,
years ago when you worked there.
But also on Tuesdays.
Oh yeah.
It was 2 for 1.
But I love our fast food background on the show.
And the lines would be
out of control.
Wild.
Just nonstop.
And I would be so annoyed that I'd want to say to people, you're really waiting in line for an hour
for this.
Come back tomorrow. It's only $5 for one.
2 for Tuesday.
This is crazy. And people were like always mad.
Yeah.
Always, you know, just very like would get furious at you. Like, not my fault. You're the one coming here on this crazy promotion.
We've talked about Big Chicken pulling one over on us for the last 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
They systematically, that's not the right word, but they had a whole schedule of releasing different chicken sandwiches. We would riot at all the places, and then we all calmed down. We're like, it's a chicken sandwich. And then they were like, okay, now they're $9. They were all $3.50 to $5.50. All right, it's going through the roof. Big Chicken got us. It was a concerted effort, an organized effort, collusion.
Sure.
All of those things are alleged, but I didn't mention any of the restaurants, so I'm good.
Fair.
Is there a Big Ham lobby?
Oh, definitely.
Are you sure?
Definitely.
They ain't doing their work.
They're not good.
What, ham?
Yeah, they're like the Major League Baseball union.
They're not organized.
They're not good.
They're not
the
organized.
The NFL union is not very good either.
Big Ham sucks. Jared, you're seeing a lot of anti-ham here, like to the point of accusations that eating a lot of ham could lead to diabetes.
So basically, the University of Cambridge, which is a much higher level institution than I would expect to do this sort of research, determined that if you eat about a ham sandwich a day for over 10 years, your chances of diabetes goes up 15%, which at which
wow.
point, my thoughts were, at what point during the study did you go, all right, guys, maybe we stop them from eating the ham sandwiches?
Like stop the test group?
Yeah, like at what point do you like, we're giving them diabetes, guys.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that I would think the number would be higher than that.
This is absurd.
Like if you eat a ham sandwich every day for 10 years, your risk goes up by 15%. Like that seems like it's healthy.
I think ham is the, I don't know what cut of meat you want to go with a steak. I think it is one of the top deli meats.
I think it's not, but
I don't, but here's the thing. You're not in a position to challenge me.
I am, but
because
but
I come
also
from the butchering background. I come from the deli
sure.
background. I have a slicer. I don't think you're, but I will allow you to challenge me, but I think you're wrong here.
The problem is there's too many like fatty and weird spots in ham. Even good ham has like the weird spots in it that I don't
like.
That's
the healthy part.
It's,
that builds up immunity and everything else.
It's awful.
A little healthy
and
fat.
Here's
the fat in your diet.
But I also have another very important question about this study
that
might, if there is Big Ham, they might want to take note of this.
Yeah, I know.
It's the bread.
Well, it's the bread at certain joints.
No, but I'm saying you this think, study, you, a ham sandwich every day for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's the bread. It's not the ham.
Well, who's got a better lobby? We know.
Yeah, bread.
Big bread's very powerful.
Yeah, but let's look at who the real problem is here. Sorry, Big Bread. You're the issue. If you just eat ham slices every day, I don't think your risk is going up.
Justin Watkins with us in about 25 minutes. We'll have to get into this. I don't like this. I don't like the path we're going down here at all. I think a deli sandwich a day keeps the doctor away.
We don't have like a new bread sponsor, do we?
We might. We're working
Big
on
bread.
A deal.
As the baker in the group, Come on.
Yeah, that's a good. You're the one who should be standing up. You're number seven on the Cofield and Company chef list because of your baking, and he's smearing basically your bread and butter. I don't know.
He's smearing both of us. He's taking out your ham. He's taking out my bread.
Yeah, well, that's what he does. That's his role in the show. No prisoners taken. No holds barred. I want to announce another addition to our schedule, Adam Hill, Monday nights. Sure. We'll be hanging out at one of our favorite places, Ellis Island, in the front yard. Fantastic space.
Great spot.
Awesome menu. And what they're doing for football, and we're going to be there on Monday Night Football, or for Monday Night Football, 3-6 with Live Cofield and Company. And then we'll be hanging out, partying with you guys, giving away prizes from 6 to 8. For the football games there at the front yard at Ellis Island, that's on Koval and Flamingo. They're going to have a $30 all-you-can-drink. You know they do their own craft beers. All-you-can-drink beer, right? $30. And all-you-can-eat food, $45. So very affordable. As I've talked about Sundays, my football viewing, I spend a lot of money. So this is a hell of a deal. Great menu, led by, speaking of, pork belly. The pork belly bites are unbelievable. So much so that I had a group over there the other day, Adam, and one of the guys was just raving about the pork belly to the point where our buddy Steve's here at Ellis Island is like, bruh, I know it's awesome. But he also had to say, I didn't make it. Because it was like, it was that congratulatory. Like, this is wonderful. It is. They deserve it. Front yard, Ellis Island Casino. Go to ellisislandcasino.com for more information. Cofield and Company, Monday Night Football all throughout the season at Ellis Island in the front yard.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, hear the music. You know it's time for Caleb Herring on a Wednesday. Football Insider, former Rebel quarterback, part of the Barry Odom Radio Show, which is debuting for 2024 at 6 o'clock tonight, right after Cofield and Company. What's going on, pal? Adam Hill is here.
Oh, man, you know, getting excited. More and more excited by the day. It's like slowly creeping up, the excitement for college football. Like last Saturday was like a tease. And then this Saturday, I look at ESPN and like the abundance of games starting on Thursday. It's like, this is what I live for. It's time to go into my hole and become all about football for the rest of the year. I'll see you guys at Christmas. That's what it's looking like right now.
There you go. I'll see you a few more times than that. UNLV is going to be road tripping to Houston, and we're going to talk about that game in a couple of minutes. Adam Hill, your take on the city of Houston.
It's awful. Terrible in every way.
All right, Caleb, get fired up for Broadcasting Bites.
Oh, my God.
And, first of all, I'm already bitter because I made a big mistake, which seemed not a terrible idea at the time, but my flight is at 5 a.m. Friday. I'm not excited about that. That means I have to wake up tomorrow at 5 a.m. to check in.
Is that how that works?
Double jeopardy.
I haven't flown commercial in a long time. It's crazy.
It's not good.
Flex.
But here's what I've said about Houston many times. First of all, positive. This is, you know, we won't be downtown, right? So the stadium is outside of downtown. Houston is abysmal. The problem I have with Houston in general is that there are a couple spots that are decent. You know, Midtown's all right. Galleria neighborhood's all right. There's some stuff over there. But, like, there's nothing special about Houston. Houston has everything you could ever want, every chain imaginable. But that's what it is. You can get whatever you want, but there's nothing you have to
Houston
get.
Houston is the Melbourne, Australia of America.
Sure, yeah.
Which you said was just Melbourne's, like, the most plain city ever.
Yeah, Melbourne sucks.
Caleb, I completely disagree. I think Houston is actually a very exciting town. I like the weather there. I like the history there. And I like the food there. So I'm very excited to explore and get some good food in H-Town.
I have no doubt that the food will be good. It does concern me, though, the change everywhere vibe, because Adam's the second person that's told me that it is very boring as far as its uniqueness. It's a massive city, but not as unique as one would hope. And I think there is a part of me in my age that's appreciating the uniqueness of the places that I travel to. That does concern me. Also, being massive, I'm so glad that the state is not downtown. Because downtown everywhere sucks. Let's just be honest about that. Any place that has somewhere that you call downtown sucks. There's no downtown that works for me. It's not my taste anymore. And maybe in my youth, I would have got down with that type of stuff, but it's not for me. Downtown teams are not for me anymore.
Terrible take.
So that's exactly the opposite of me. And here's my issue is in downtown Houston, by the way, Nobody lives there. We had the mayor on when we were down there a few years ago. He told us at the time that the amount of residents in downtown Houston was 3,000. In a city that massive, that big, less than 5,000 people actually live downtown, and that's why everything was empty after 5 o'clock. If there's no convention going on down there, everybody's gone. Nothing's open. So everything has spread out, and as you mentioned, it's a massive city. So there's a lot of places to go, I guess, but most of them are travel. You travel pretty far. It's weird, but I'm mystified that you're an anti-downtown person, because I think most cities I go to, that's what I want to check out and see if the city's jumping.
No, because the downtown is the same everywhere. That's why I don't like it. Everybody's downtown scene tries to simulate the same experience. And the fact that only 3,000 people live there isn't an accident. The locals know it sucks. It's not cool to be down there regularly. It's not the best. You don't get the taste of Houston by going to Houston's downtown. You get everybody else's downtown. I can go to one downtown. You can plop me in a downtown randomly. I wouldn't know what city I was in. Right? Like, if I go to Houston's downtown, I wouldn't know the difference if I didn't have a Google Map. If you didn't tell me in advance that I wasn't in LA's downtown or wasn't in New York's downtown. Downtown is overrated. Like, I want Houston. Give me the people of Houston when I travel to Houston. I don't want downtown Las Vegas when I'm in Houston.
Go to Midtown, I guess.
Caleb Herring's with us, former quarterback for the Rebels. Let's go rapid fire here because we took a lot of time talking about H-Town. One, for UNLV, who starts a quarterback? Make a freaking pick. I feel like everyone in the media is like afraid to put a pick out there. I know one of our buddies, Joe Arrigo, was like, I know, but I can't tell you. Like, just tell us who it is. Make a pick. So we're wrong, we're wrong. Come on.
I don't make picks, and you know that. I don't project. I think I have a unique position, and I heard you talk about Dan Orlovsky's position earlier. I think I share that kind of stuff. I want to maintain the player, the former player aspect. I think once you start making predictions boldly, then you get too lumped in with the media. And I don't want to get banned like the rest of you guys. I will keep my position to myself. And I've always, even without, not just a quarterback position, but just I'm a wait-and-see person. I understand, you know, that things are different. And more importantly, I understand, you know, my position, especially with UNLV. I have a voice that reaches the players. And I think that's what I want to protect the most. Me making some sort of pick for my favorite or what I think will happen, unfortunately, it does have an impact on players. And I know from personal experience, being or hearing that I wasn't going to be the starter, even while I know that I was going to be the starter, it hurt kind of my ego, my pride. I don't know what it hurt, but it hurt. I didn't like to hear it. And then narratives get jumped up about why or it is or isn't that I'm starting. I want to protect against that. So no prediction for me. I will be my prediction is it's going to be Hajim Lee Williams or Matt Spuka or Cam Friel. And I will yell it out over the broadcast on ESPN 1100 this coming Saturday.
Depth chart came out. One of their star transfers is Tony Grimes, had played cornerback in the past. Now he's at free safety. What does this mean?
I think it means that the theme of cross training, which has been the theme of the Barry Odom tenure so far, you know, cross training athletes, cross training players to make sure they fit in the best position on the field to succeed. To make the team successful, I think it's true. I think they have shown with this move and others that they're willing to put people in different positions than expected. Grimes, I think, adds versatility to the secondary wherever you put him. And he has a unique skill set I think is not traditional when it comes to free safety. You don't think of guys that are in man-to-man coverage a lot. Maybe you think of guys that cover from depth and are roving around the field and space more. But Grimes is a guy who likes to get physically, likes to be in your face. He likes the man coverage. He can do that. And obviously, they trust him enough to do what he needs to in space and free safety. But it just brings to mind, to the forefront of my mind, that the cross-training mentality is real. And they will use cross-training across the field to put guys in positions that maybe you wouldn't have thought they would be. And how that works out schematically for their advantage, I'm sure they've got something up their sleeves in year two with the system, because that was a shocker. To say the least, for those of us who, you know, understood Tony Grimes to be a lockdown corner, so to speak. So, and that free safety, we'll see what that brings to the defense.
You can listen to about, I think it was 38 minutes this week of hardcore UNLV football talk. UNLV All Access podcast is up at Steve Cofield, retweeted and liked by Caleb Herring. I assume he did that. At Caleb Herring _, but good stuff on there on the podcast for more extended UNLV talk. We all love Hard Knocks, but I will give Caleb the floor first, and then we can redirect to Adam. Okay, give me your take on Hard Knocks, the latest edition.
It was peak hard knocks there. It brought tears to my eyes there. Boy, they did a great job with Ian Wheeler. That 10-minute embrace with his mom? Oh, my God. I will say this. There's nothing like a hug from your mom when you're going through a tough time in life, but especially after a hard game. I don't know what it is. Moms get it. They just know, you know, just be there and be quiet and just hug me. And I felt that moment. It's funny, the irony, right? To go back to one of the moments that was demonized for Caleb Williams in college is just a flashback, who's now a teammate or now featured on, you know, the Caleb Williams intro show that is Hard Knocks this year. But his hug with his mom got a lot of scrutiny last year. And, like, the difference of the two scenarios, like watching Wheeler hug his mom, nobody has a question of what the emotions are and what Hard Knocks put on display there. But that was a touching moment. Heartbreak. Good for him, though. You know, kind of picks back up that he's going to go on IR and still has that window of opportunity to make the team next year. But, yeah, Hard Knocks, a great episode. And great character on display from, you know, a wide range of different position groups. It's awesome to watch the personalities behind these players get put on display like Hard Knocks does.
Adam, your opinion of Roma Dunze, local, and snacks.
Yeah, had to go on the shopping trip, pick up snacks for the wide receiver room. A lot of seeds. I don't really understand the seeds that much. I mean, I know a lot of people are into them. They bought a lot of them. They got the Skittles. That was probably a good choice. I couldn't tell, and I watched it back. I was watching on my phone, so it was kind of tough. But they were kind of they expressed shock at the 24-hour grocery store. I was like, Rome,
we are so spoiled as Las Vegans because that 24 hours isn't that nobody does that. Like that's not a thing.
That's
a real
point.
Good business model in small towns. That's number one. And then number two, Vegas is very unique in that everything's 24 hours here. Like we can get up at 11:30 and say, I want a Big Mac, and it's going to happen. Like, we can do so much late at night. It's a luxury we have. And there are people who grew up under a rock or in the Stone Ages that don't have 24-hour options. And then that's okay. I mean, what was more fascinating about that, first of all, I'll get to the seeds. Seeds is a staple of every football camp. It's the stay-awake fuel. You have to have an active food that keeps you thinking, keeps your mind going, your hand-eye coordination. And seeds is that thing. So that, I get the seeds. There's seeds everywhere in football camp. But his geometry, or what is it, the rectangular prism, when he's trying to explain the shape of a candy, and that's what he's looking for specifically. And just like, what are we talking about here? There was too much thought going into buying snacks. Just grab everything on a shelf and throw it in the bag. You're going to feed football players, all right? It's not that complicated. Seeds, everything else. Let's go.
Caleb, we are up against it. Hopefully we have some good seed talk with Barry Odom in a little over 3 hours from now. Check that 2 hours from now. I don't know what time it is. 6 o'clock start for the Barry Odom Radio Show. See you, buddy.
See you. Take care.
Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. We head to the 4 o'clock hour. Justin Watkins is going to be in, our legal insider. I have a very important case. I'm having some issues to run by him. So you're going to hear Justin in action as an attorney, trying to help me out. And for everyone out there, don't be afraid when you need help. 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada.